Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
This month we've been doing a series called It's Fine, I'm Fine. And it's all about really the stress and the pressures that we face and really the different components of mental health. I believe that to be truly healthy, it's not just about our mind, it's about our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's those four components, and that they interact with each other and they influence each other. And so far this month, we've talked about the heart, the emotional side of things. We've talked about the soul, the spiritual side of things. And today I want to talk a little bit about the mental side of mental health. Many of you know, and I've shared a bit about this in the past already, that I have had my own struggles with anxiety and fear. My struggle really started when I was about 11 or 12. I was going into middle school, and something about entering into middle school just hit me sideways, and it kind of crippled me. And it was at that point that I had to begin the process of figuring out how was I going to manage, how was I going to survive with these feelings of anxiety and still go on and live my life. And there's a lot to that story, and I can tell you more about that story another time, and I'm probably going to share a little bit about it next week as well from another perspective. But I found that that anxiety could be very much crippling. And it came from fear, and it came from worrying about details, and it came from worrying about thinking about all the possible outcomes of what could happen. And it got to the point where there were days that I was worried about worrying and getting crippled by the worry. So I was worrying about worrying. And a lot of times when we face those kinds of mental health struggles with anxiety, fear, depression, and other issues, we enter into this struggle where instead of turning to God and finding some kind of help, we find ourselves in the place where we're actually just not listening to what God says. For one reason or another, sometimes we just can't put the mental energy into it. Sometimes we don't think about it. Maybe you've never thought about the necessity of it. We're not thinking that way, or every other thought is consuming. But one way or another, we simply tune God out, or we tune out those people in our lives that are trying to help us, and they speak to us, and all we want to do is ignore them. Somebody's got a piece of advice, and we're like, oh, just shut up. We think, oh, I should be reading my Bible, and we're like, no, I don't. It's rules. It's going to add pressure. That's going to stress me out more. Somebody goes and says, here, I want to talk to you, and you're like, no, I don't have the capacity, the emotional energy to talk about those things. And so we end up running away from all those sources of help or advice, and we end up ignoring a lot of the stuff. And then other times, maybe we know the stuff, maybe we've heard the stuff, but we go, but I don't want to take those steps. I don't want to walk down that road. Maybe God tells us, well, in order to find healing and health, you need to make these changes. And you're like, no, but I don't want to do those things. Maybe I don't want to get rid of those things in my life. Maybe I don't want to add those things in my life. Maybe I don't want to go to counseling. Maybe I don't want to open up. I'm scared to trust somebody with that kind of information. I don't want it. And you say, I don't want it. And so you resist the advice and the direction that you've been giving, and you end up locked further into the anxiety and the obsession and the depression. And then other times, maybe you've heard the advice, maybe you're trying it, and it just seems like it's not making a difference. And you start to think, there's no point to do this. This isn't going to help. I'm never going to be out of this. I don't think anybody can help me feel different. I don't think anybody can ever find a solution to this. I've tried things. I've tried that stuff. I've tried advice, and it makes no difference. And I don't know if anyone can help me, and I don't know if God can help me, and I don't know if God will help me feel any different. And so we ignore, we resist, and we doubt. And when we look in the Bible, we see a very kind of a big example of this, even in the person of Moses. If you're familiar with the person of Moses and his story, you know that he ended up being raised by an Egyptian family, even though he was an Israelite. And he ends up killing an Egyptian in order to defend an Israelite person, and he gets accused of stuff, and he's scared of the consequences of that, so he runs away. And we know from later in the Bible that it makes a comment that Moses knew he was called to save the people, but he was scared of the consequences, and so he runs away. And he runs away for like 40 years. He avoids, he ignores the calling that God has put on his life. And finally, one day he's wandering and he sees a burning bush, and it's actually God getting his attention and calling to him and saying, "Hey, Moses, Moses, I've got work for you to do." And Moses' response to what God is saying is, "Cool, find somebody else. Find somebody else. I don't really want to do that." So he ran away. He resisted. He was like, "Who am I even supposed to tell them sent me? Can you even do this?" And he ends up going back to Egypt, and he goes through the motions. And at times he's like, "God, what are you doing? Are you actually going to set these people free? Because I'm doing what you're telling me to do, and we're still slaves here." And you can see that anxiety and that fear and that depression come and grow in Moses. But then we have another example in Scripture, that's kind of the opposite when we look at Jesus. And Jesus, during his ministry, was constantly bombarded by temptations to lean into anxiety, fear, depression, obsession, and to lean into those things. Constantly he was bombarded by people's comments and situations that would make him either want to run away, resist, or doubt what God was capable of. There were times when he's there, and there's this girl who has died, and he goes and he says, "Oh, don't worry, guys, she's just sleeping." And the people laugh at him. They laugh at him. Another time, he goes, he shows up, and his friend Lazarus has died. And his other friend Mary stands there, looks at him, and says, "You know what? If you had been here, he wouldn't have died." Jesus goes to get baptized. He walks up to John and says, "All right, John, you got to baptize me." And John's like, "No, no, 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 man, you got that wrong. That's not how this is supposed to work." He tells his disciples, "You know what? I'm going to end up being killed for this purpose that I'm here for." And Peter takes Jesus aside and says, "No one's going to kill you. I won't let that happen." And he even questions in his own mind There are times when Jesus looked out on the crowd and he said, how long am I going to be here with this stubborn generation? And all these questions come and all these temptations come. Are you going to hold? Are you going to keep moving? Is that really what God is saying? Are you really going to follow through with what God tells you to do? But time after time, Jesus continues to do what he's supposed to do, and we do not see any sign in Scripture of Jesus succumbing to those temptations and succumbing to the power of mental illness. We see the temptation, we see the questions, we see the situations, but we don't see Jesus being manipulated and controlled by them. And I think when we dig into Scripture, we find out that there's a key piece to this that helps us figure it out. And I think it's this principle. I think it's a principle that, it's the next slide, the more you trust God, the less power mental illness will have over you. I think he understood this. That the more he trusted God, the less power mental illness would have over him. I'm not saying that if you trust God, you'll never have struggles. Or if you trust God, you'll never have mental illness and it will just go away. What I'm saying is that the more you trust God, the less power it has over you. And when we find that we ignore God, we resist God, we doubt him, the Bible says to do the opposite. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he, God, cares for you. In Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here's the truth. Listen, God cares for you. Here's the instruction. Don't resist it. Through prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. And thirdly, instead of doubting, you've got to remember. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is in a boat with his disciples. And it says that when they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They discussed this among themselves and said, it's because we didn't bring any bread. And aware of the discussion, Jesus asked, you of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the five loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the seven loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? What was the mistake the disciples made? They forgot that God could provide. And they were thinking, oh no, we don't have any bread. Jesus is mad at us because we don't have any bread. And Jesus is like, guys, I just fed 5,000 people and 7,000 people with hardly anything. Why do you think I would be concerned about you bringing bread? I'm a bread-making machine. They call me Black and Decker. I got this stuff figured out. Why do you think I would be worried about bread? There's 12 of you. But for some reason, they forgot. For some reason, they doubted. And one of the things that Jesus did is he understood that God cared about him. He understood that he needed to follow through and he needed to surrender and he needed to bring his request to God and that God would hear him. And he knew the importance of remembering what God said and what God had done in his life already. My little guy, John, hates trying new food. He gets worked up, he gets hysterical at times, and he's like, it's going to be gross, and sometimes he'll take a bite and he'll go, whoa! And if you fight with him for 20 minutes and you finally get him to take a bite, this fun thing happens. He'll take a bite and then he'll go, oh, that's not that bad. Give him another 5 minutes, and he'll probably go, actually, I kind of like this. But he's so worked up about the question of what it's going to be like, what's going to happen. If he just trusted the instruction, he would take that step, and he would find out that it's going to be okay. I've done some plumbing work here. And I had no issues, no fears about doing the plumbing work. Do you know why? Because I had somebody here looking over my shoulder, making sure I was doing it right. You guys can all breathe a sigh of relief now. I tell you, doing that work, having an expert right with you, making sure you're doing it right and following his instructions, I didn't have to go, does this guy know what he's doing? Is this the right way? No, I trusted him to instruct me in the right steps to take. And if he told me to do it, that's what I should be doing because he knows what he's doing. Other than the times that he didn't know what he was doing. But anyways, that's a side conversation. I had to correct him a couple times. We'll just say that. Right, Reg? Yep. God knows what he's doing. He knows you better than you know yourself. And the steps we need to take is not to ignore, resist, and doubt. The steps we need to take is that we need to listen, obey, and remember. Listen, obey, remember. And again, I'm not saying that's going to make the struggle go away. I'm not saying that there aren't other factors that need to be dealt with. I'm saying that a significant portion of the power that those struggles have over you gets removed when you trust God more and more and more. Jesus trusted God with his future, and mental illness was not able to take over in his life. So what did he do? He knew the Word of God. He knew the Scriptures. We need to be in our Bibles. We need to be reading our Bibles. We need to be getting at least the verse of the day. We need to be getting the Bible app and listening to the devotion or listening to the Bible through the course of a year or listening to some reading plan. You need to be listening to it. You need to be reading it, something. You need the Word of God in your life. And then you also need to be spending time in prayer when you are talking to God, but you're also listening for His instruction and you learn His voice. And so when he says, oh, stop there, or you need to pause with that, or you need to do something, then you know what he is saying. Stop running away from God. Running away from God is not going to make your anxiety less. Running away from God is not going to somehow relieve the guilt and the shame and the fear that you have been holding on to for years and think, well, if I just avoid God, then those things will go away because then I won't feel judged. No, avoiding God isn't going to make that go away. You need to run towards him. You need to listen to him. You need to hear what he's saying. And then you need to obey. You need to put that into action. You need to take the step of faith. You need to follow the instructions, because he's saying, if you walk down this path, you will find freedom. I care about you. I can carry these things, and you can put it on me because I care about you. But you've got to take that step. When he says you need to go confess this thing to so-and-so, you need to admit it, or you need to go and you need to forgive that person, or you need to let that thing go, or you need to make that donation, or you need to take that small amount of money that you have and you don't know how you're going to meet ends meet, but he is saying you need to go give that to so-and-so or to such-and-such. You need to take that step of faith. When he says you need to reject the temptation, you need to stop going to those places, you need to get rid of your cell phone, your smartphone, you need to stop watching those videos, you need to stop going to those places online, you need to stop hanging out with those people because of what they are influencing you to do, and you cannot swim when you're around them, you're just drowning when you're around them. Or when he says you need to go and you need to make it right, you need to go and give that back to that person or fix that problem. When he says you need to oppose the instructions, the evil instructions that your boss is giving you, and say no to that, or you need to go ask for help, or you need to share your faith with somebody, or whatever it is. When he tells you to do something, to go and do it, you've got to go and do it. You cannot be resisting him and find freedom. You need to hear him, you need to listen, and you need to obey. If you're ignoring or resisting him, then mental illness is going to come in and it's going to have all kinds of power over you. And then you need to remember. Then you need to remember what God has done. Because you will take those steps and you will see him work. And you will look at other people, and you'll see them take steps of faith and how God has worked in them, and you need to remember what God has done in the past. You need to remember those miracles. You need to remember, right, I don't need to worry about bread because he fed the 5,000 and he fed the 7,000 and he can feed me. I know some of you really like bread, but you're not going to eat as many as 7,000 people. Listen to him. Obey. Remember what he has done. Brian's going to come up. He's going to pray for us, and he's going to close the service here for us. And I know that this question of mental health is much bigger than just this one message today, and that's why we're taking all month and we're talking about different aspects. And so don't take this as if you just try to trust Jesus more, that'll make all your struggles go away. No, it's not. There's more to it. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's all four of those things need to be dealt with. And we're going to talk more about it next week. But even if you get your heart, soul, and strength involved, and you haven't dealt with your mind, you haven't dealt with trust in Jesus, there's going to be a gap there. You need to hit all four of these pieces in order to have real, mental, true health. And I believe that the more you trust God, the less power mental illness will have over you. Want to pray for us?
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.